Good evening, New Vine. Okay, so thanks, Randy. In case you don't know who I am, let me give you a really quick self-intro. Right, so I'm Calvin. I live here in Mountain View with Margaret, my wife. I've been part of New Vine since we started about, 3 years ago? I think many of you have been here these past 3 years as well. I was born and raised in Singapore, but I've been living here in the Bay Area for the past 9 years, working as a software engineer. Now, why am I telling you this right now? Well, because you might be wondering, like, wait, why is he standing up right here? Right? And I just want to make it clear. You know, I am not standing here today in front of you because I have any special qualifications, right? I don't have any, you know, deep theological training or full-time ministry experience or any special revelation from God, right? I mean, I'm just an ordinary person, just one of you guys, yeah, one of you here in this church. But I do want to say, I mean, I am here because of the authority of the Word of God, right? I am here to pass on to you as a messenger what I've received from God's Word. So really, I think, you know, if all I share with you today is just my own knowledge, my own experience, you will have gained nothing. Right? Your soul will still be hungry. But today we're here to feed on the life-giving Word of God, right? So really, you know, me standing up here, I mean, that's something that any of you can do, you know, in the power and authority of God's Word. And that's really what I want us to do today, right? So you're not here to listen to me, don't pay attention to me. Right, but let's all listen together and learn together from God's Word. Right? And I really just pray that that will be, you know, what I am able to do for all of us here today. So, okay, 1 second. Let me just get set up here with my little clicker thingy logistics. Let me just make sure, does that work? Okay, good. All right, so let me just pray for us before we get into God's Word. So, Lord, we welcome you here today. You alone are our God. You alone deserve our undivided attention and praise. So, Lord, as we hear your word, I pray that you will make me decrease so that you may increase in our midst. Lord, I pray you'll open my mouth to speak your life-giving word. I also pray that you will silence my mouth if I dare to say anything that doesn't represent you correctly. Holy Spirit, we declare that you are the Spirit of truth. We declare that you will come now to guide us, your church, into your beautiful truth that sets us free. So I ask that you remove our heart of stone and give us hearts of flesh so that your word will fall on good soil. Lord Jesus, may the power of your cross break every chain that holds us back from embracing you today. And Father, may your name be honored. May your name be glorified. May our hearts be stirred to worship you today as we listen to your perfect word. Amen. Amen. Okay, so let's stand as we read our main scripture passage today. It's just one verse, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Thank you. Okay, so we've come to the fifth of the Ten Commandments. But before we dive into it, let's step back a little bit to look at the bigger picture. And by the way, one funny thing about this sermon series so far is, I guess every time before we begin talking about the next commandment, we end up like recalling the previous ones first. So I'm not going to break that tradition. So do you remember what the first four commandments were? We've been studying them over the past month. Just shout it out. Any other first four commandments that you know? No other gods? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow, Linda, you're amazing. But no, thank you to all of you. Yeah, praise God. Yeah, I mean, fantastic. I mean, by the time we finish this sermon series, you have all 10 commandments memorized. Isn't that great? Praise God. Okay, so, but just to recap for all of us, the first four commandments are, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And remember the Sabbath day to make it holy. So as Cheryl explained last week, we can divide up the Ten Commandments into two groups. And this first group focuses on how we relate to God. Right? He wants us to put him first and to dedicate ourselves and our time to Him. So this is the first group in the Ten Commandments. And today we're going to talk about the fifth commandment, but before we do that, let's just take a sneak peek at the sixth to tenth commandments. All right, so you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. Do you see the big difference here? Right, these commandments all focus on how we relate to each other, to other people. Right, they're about our human relationships. So the first group of, of commandments deals with our relationship with God. Right, people often call these the vertical commandments because they have to do with how we relate upward to God. The second group deals with our relationships with other people. Right? These are sometimes called the horizontal commandments because they have to do with how we relate to the people right next to us. Right? So horizontal. And that's actually why Jesus, when he summarized all of God's laws, he used the same twofold structure in Matthew 22. He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." And he also says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." So remember how Pastor Ted, when he first introduced this, he explained to us that the Ten Commandments are actually God's wedding vows to us. Right? It's a marriage covenant, but it's also a communal covenant. It's not just between God and you as an individual. Right? It's actually between God and all of us together as the church. You know, all of us together are the bride of Christ. So God doesn't only want us to commit to a relationship to Him, right? He also wants all of us to commit to a relationship with one another. So and these aren't just rules, so that we can tolerate one another, so we can just barely survive living next to each other, right? But rather, as Jesus says, this is a picture from God about how we are to love one another, right? Love our neighbor. I mean, just turn your head and look around you right now. I mean, just look around you real quick. Right? These are your neighbors. These are your brothers and sisters. Now, we're here to learn how to love the people sitting around you right now in this church, in this room. Right? This isn't abstract. This isn't just like, oh, we're going to love the world and I'm going to, you know, just feel really good about, you know, loving the world. But it's really for us as the body of Christ, as the church of Christ, as the bride of Christ, to be able to love one another. And that's the reason why we're studying these Ten Commandments. So as we go into the horizontal commandments, we're going more into the second group now. I want all of us, you know, as we go through this, to hear the voice of Jesus. Now, hear His loving voice as our bridegroom. Now, hear Him teach us how we are to love one another, how we are to grow in our love for each other here at New Vine. Amen? Amen? Amen. Okay, so in that spirit, let's look at the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. Now, this holds a very special place in the Ten Commandments. It's a bridge from the four vertical commandments about God to the five horizontal commandments about other people. Now, why does God put it right here in between as a bridge? Keep listening and we'll find out. Okay, but before we discuss that, let's start off with a reflection exercise. Okay, I want all of us to close our eyes. Just close our eyes, we're gonna do a personal reflection. Okay, just close your eyes. Okay, everyone has your eyes closed. Okay, now imagine the face of the person you call your mother, your mom. Picture her face in your mind. Now hear God's voice saying this to you. Honor her. Honor her. Next, imagine the face of the person you call your father, your dad. Picture his face in your mind. Now hear God's voice saying this to you. Honor him. honor him. Okay, you may open your eyes now. How did you feel? How did you feel? I mean, maybe for some of us, you felt peace and joy as you thought about your parents. But I'm sure for many of us, this was a difficult, perhaps even very painful exercise. I want to acknowledge that we have many different situations here in our midst. I mean, we may think that our church is not a very big church, but, you know, we have so many different situations, and I know many of you have all kinds of different, as I said, realities that you have to live with. For some of us, you know, we might still be living with our parents. We might see them every day. For some of us, you know, we might now have our own households, but we're still blessed with strong and loving relationships with our parents. Maybe your parents are even here in this room with you right now. I know there are some parent and child, children, you know, right here. But for some of us, maybe one or both of your parents have passed on. Right? They're no longer here with us. Maybe you were brought up by a single parent. Maybe you never even had a chance to know one or both of your parents. You might not even know what they look like when you're trying to picture that. You might not even know what their faces look like. Maybe you were adopted and you never knew your biological parents. Maybe you have a step-parent after your mom or dad remarried. Or maybe you're not on talking terms with your parents. You know, your relationship with them is broken and filled with sorrow. And when you think about them, you feel regret. You feel pain. Maybe your parents were even abusive to you. Abusive verbally, emotionally, physically, and maybe you're still feeling the hurts, the wounds and scars from the deep hurts that you suffered. Right? We live in a world that is fallen, that is broken, that is corrupted by sin. The Bible doesn't deny this. It also doesn't deny its implications. We'll talk more about this, but however painful it may be, today God wants us to reflect on our relationship with the two people that you just pictured in your mind, the father and your mother. Here's a photo of my own parents, my mom and dad. They're still living in Singapore, which is where I grew up. We took this photo earlier this year when Margaret and I visited them. I'm thankful I had a happy childhood. I continue to have a loving relationship with my parents. But we're separated by geographical distance. You know, we only see each other in person about once a year. And I'm sad that both of them don't yet know Jesus. It grieves my heart that I might not see them in eternity. You know, I'm still praying for Jesus to free them from bondage to darkness and to draw them to himself. So for me, these are the two people that I pictured in my mind as we were doing this exercise. Okay, so what exactly does God want us to do in our relationship with our parents? Let me read the fifth commandment for us again, one more time. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So let's spend some time unpacking this verse to try and really understand what God is saying to us here. So let's start by looking at the first word, honor. Honor. That's not a word we tend to use every day, right? What do you think it means to honor someone? Like, what does it mean to honor somebody? Any thoughts? Respect, follow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so to help us understand this better, why don't we try to hear it the way the Israelites did when they first received this commandment? So I'm going to teach you a Hebrew word. In the original Hebrew language, the word used for honor is kabed. Kabed. Okay, say it out loud with me. Kabed. Kabed. Okay, say it one more time. Kabed. Okay, great. So now you learn a new word. Guess what kabed literally means? Anyone happen to know? Pastor Ted? Okay, he does know. Okay, so, it means heavy. It means heavy. So to honor someone is to make them heavy, to make them big, to make them weighty. right? So when you kabed someone, you know, it's like the minute they walk into the room, it's like a huge elephant coming in. You know, the moment they say something to you, it's like the sound of a huge airplane taking off. You know, or even the moment they're passing by, it's like a huge train coming through. I mean, you can't ignore it. You can't ignore it. Right? So to kabed someone is to think of them as being heavy, big. In other words, treat the person as being very important. Right? Give them a lot of attention. Make sure you immediately recognize their presence. Drop everything to attend to their needs. Now, what's the opposite of kabed? The opposite is to treat someone as being lightweight, very small. Trivialize them, minimize them. You know, when they come, they're just like a little ant to you, or a tiny speck of dust. You know, you barely notice them or acknowledge them. It's like, eh, doesn't matter. Now, that's not what God wants. Right? God is telling us, honor your parents by treating them as being very big, very heavy, very important. Now, I served 2 years of mandatory military service in Singapore. And in the military, some of you have been in the military, one of the basic rules is that you always have to salute officers who are more senior than you. And the higher their rank, the bigger a deal it was. So, you know, if I walk past a junior officer, like a lieutenant or a captain, okay, fine, I salute them, but maybe not all the time, not with perfect form. It's like, morning, sir. Now, if I meet a more senior officer, like a major or a lieutenant colonel, okay, then I take it a bit more seriously. Okay, I make sure I acknowledge them and I salute them smartly. Morning, sir. But then, when a general or an admiral comes into the room, well, you know, that's a whole different story. You know, everyone in the room immediately stops chatting. You know, we all stand up, we turn to face them, acknowledge them, and salute. Morning, sir! Right? And then we wait for them to sit down. You know, wait for them to sit down. And then only after that, then the rest of us sit down. Right? Now, that's kabed. That's kabed. Right, that's treating them like they are big and important and weighty, right? I mean, you know how every Sunday we stand up to read the scripture together, right? I mean, we just did it just now, right? And why are we doing that? I mean, that's also kabet, right? We stand up to honor God whose word is declared in our presence. And we're treating his word as big, as heavy, as important. Right? That's honor. That's kabet. But I must also explain what kabed is not. Right? I researched the other places where this word is used in the Old Testament, and I actually did not find a single case where this word means obey or fear. Right? It's never used to mean obey or fear, not even once. So when we kabed someone, when we honor someone, it doesn't mean that we have to blindly obey them. It doesn't mean that we have to submit to all their whims and fancies out of fear or obligation. So what honoring someone means, what to kabed someone, it means we recognize the other person's identity, their important position, and then we treat them with the respect and consideration that they deserve because of that position. So it means appreciation and respect, not allegiance, not subservience. So that's kabet. That's what the word honor means. That's what the original Israelites would have understood it to mean when they heard this commandment that we're looking at right now. Now, who does God want us to kabet here in this commandment? He says here in this commandment, your father and your mother. Make sure you pay attention here. He says, your father and your mother. Now, he's not saying, honor fathers and mothers in general. Right? He's not saying, honor the people around you who are parents or honor your elders. I mean, it is true that he wants us to do those other things as well, but in this commandment, he's being extremely precise. God wants you to honor two very specific individuals in your life. Your father and your mother, your mom, your dad. I mean, remember the exercise we did just now? Right? This commandment is about those two people that you pictured in your mind. This is very concrete. It's very practical, right? I mean, there's no ambiguity here. When we assess how well we're living out this commandment, I mean, we can't just think about it in a very general, abstract way. We need to reflect on those two tangible relationships. Our relationship to our mom, our relationship to our dad. Why? Why is God being so specific here? Well, one reason is that we are all children, right? I mean, other than Adam and Eve, you know, every single person all throughout the earth right now and all throughout history, every one of us came into this world through two other people. You know, the first human relationship that you ever had was with your parents. Think about it. So this applies to every single one of us, and that's why God gives it such a prominent place here in the Ten Commandments. So honor your father and your mother. That's what God is saying to us here. And notice also that he mentions both your father and your mother. He doesn't just say, honor your father, but rather your father and your mother. Now, if you were one of the Israelites who first heard this commandment from Moses, you'd probably be shocked. You know, their culture back then was very patriarchal. You know, it was all about the patriarchs, the fathers, the men. Right? Those were the important people. Right? The mothers, the women, they were less important in those days. But this is God's heart. He wants us to kabet. He wants us to honor our mother as well. You know, he wants us to make our mother a big and important person in our lives. I mean, isn't it amazing how good God is? You know, he upholds the dignity of mothers. He affirms the role and value of both parents. So I want to make sure we don't miss that. But notice also that God says, honor your father and your mother, not your father or your mother. He says, and that means no playing favorites, right? God doesn't want us to be selective here. It can't be like, oh, I'll honor my dad, but not my mom. Of course I love and honor my mom, but my dad, yeah, I'll think about it a little bit, right? No, right? That's not what God wants here. He wants us to honor both our father and our mother. So, putting it all together, what does it mean to honor your father and your mother? It means that God wants you and me to recognize the weighty and important position of two specific individuals, your father and your mother, your mom, your dad. Not just one, but both of them. Right? God wants us to covet them. He wants us to consider them to be very big and important in our lives. He wants us to respect and appreciate them because of their position. Now, what does this look like in practical terms? How do we live this out? Well, for starters, I mean, we can honor our parents with our time. Visit them regularly if you can, or give them a call every few weeks, or simply send them a text message every now and then. But no matter how you do it, try to cultivate a habit of making time for them because they are important. We can also honor our parents by giving them our attention, our care. Right? Pay attention to their needs. Sometimes we might have to put their needs above our own, give them higher priority than ourselves. For some of us, this might mean we have to help provide for them materially, financially. Also, we honor our parents by listening to them. Right? We listen to them respectfully. We should patiently consider and appreciate their thoughts and suggestions. Even though we're under no obligation to obey them unconditionally. And sometimes we may even proactively seek out their guidance, their advice. And then also, very importantly, we can honor our parents by praying for them. Right? We should intercede for them before God. Tell the Lord about your love for them. Tell the Lord about your concerns about them. And we should just appreciate them. We should thank them and be grateful for them. We should speak well of them to others. And by the way, this applies even if our parents are no longer living. I know for many of us, well, a few of us in this room, you know, your parents may not be alive anymore, but that doesn't mean we stop honoring our father and our mother, right? We can still continue to honor their memory before others and honor their memory in our hearts. So that's a brief picture of what it looks like to honor your father and your mother. I'm sure if you ask God, he'll tell you about other ways to do it that apply specifically in your situation. Now, this all sounds well and good, but I'm sure for many of us, as you're listening to all this, some concerns and objections might be rising up in your heart. What's so important about my parents anyway? I mean, why do they deserve all this special attention? And maybe some of us have a more painful question. You don't know my parents. My parents, they're not good people. How can I honor them if they're dishonorable? Now, if you're asking questions like these, I'm glad you're pondering this topic deeply. I believe it honors God. It pleases his heart when we wrestle honestly with these questions. And this is a very big topic, so I confess we will not have time to go through every possible concern here. But I do want to make sure we go over some of what God's word has to say about these questions. So firstly, what's so important about our parents in the first place? Why should we covet them? Why should we regard their position as being big and important and heavy? Any ideas? Well, let me give you the quick biblical answer. So listen carefully. Listen carefully. God wants us to regard our parents as important because our parents are his representatives to us. Let me say it again. Parents are God's representatives to their children. Now, how is that? Well, parents represent God in discipline, in teaching, and as creator. So firstly, parents represent God in discipline. Deuteronomy 8:5 tells us that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. God disciplines us, and he often uses our parents as agents to dispense that discipline, especially when we are young children. Our parents represent God in discipline. And secondly, parents represent God in teaching. Proverbs 6:20, my son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. So just as God himself gives us commandments and teaches us, he's also imparted authority to both our father and our mother to give us commandments and to teach us. So they represent God in teaching. And finally, and perhaps most profoundly, parents represent God as creator. Proverbs 23, verses 22 and 25. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. So here, God's word is basically telling us that we should honor our father because he's the one who gave us life. Right? We should honor our mother because she's the one who bore us and brought us into this world. Now, to be clear, God alone is our creator. Right? God alone deserves all the credit and glory. I mean, we mustn't say that our parents created us. But at the same time, God does choose to use human parents as his co-workers in creation. Right? Our parents represent God in the miracle of creating a new human life. And not just a physical being, but a new soul that will exist forever. I mean, isn't this amazing? Isn't this what a marvelous, amazing way to share in God's handiwork? And this is what God has ordained for parents. Our parents represent God as creator. And also, in a very real sense, you know, you are actually created in your parents' image. Have you ever realized that? Right? We receive many aspects of ourselves from our parents. We get our physical traits from them. Very often, we can trace much of our personality and talents to them. For example, many people who know both me and my dad, you know, they're actually struck by how similar our personalities are. Well, maybe we look similar too. I don't know. You judge. But personality-wise, you know, we're both rather quiet in social situations. You know, we both prefer a stable daily routine. You know, we both have pretty simple tastes. And Margaret's nodding. And funnily enough, we both ended up as engineers somehow, right? And yet, we're also both described as being very loyal, very stubborn in our principles, and in the right situations, very passionate about what we care about. It's not like I was intentionally trying to be like my dad. In fact, quite on the contrary. And yet, amazingly, God created me with such a strong imprint from my dad that we still converge in so many ways. Right? And that's because my dad was God's representative in creating me. And I'm sure many of you can reflect about what you yourself receive from your parents. And that's how our parents represent God as creator. So remember how earlier we said honor your father and your mother is the bridge among the Ten Commandments, right? Do you see now why God put this commandment here between our vertical relationship with God and our horizontal relationship with others? It's because God made our parents to be his representatives to us. And therefore, when we honor our parents, we're actually honoring God himself, who they represent. So, surprise, this is actually both a horizontal and a vertical commandment at the same time. Right? And that's why God wants us to see our parents as important. That's why we have this commandment. It's because they are his representatives. And when we honor them, we honor God himself. You got that? But then now, this brings us to the other question, right? Like some of you are thinking, you don't know my mom. She's always putting me down, dismissing my opinions. You don't know my dad. He's never there for me. He doesn't care about us at all. You say my mom and dad are God's representatives? Well, if that's the case, they're not doing a good job of it at all. Right? In fact, their actions maybe have been dishonorable. Maybe they're living ungodly lives, and their actions have caused deep hurts and wounds in your own life. And you're asking me, God, to honor them? How does that make any sense? Now, as I said earlier, the Bible does not pretend that we live in a perfect world. Right? On the contrary, it's the Bible that reveals to us that we live in a world that is fallen, that is broken, that is fatally corrupted by sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Right, Romans 3:23, all of us fall short. No one has parents who are perfect representatives of God. And God knows this. It grieves his heart every time he sees the brokenness and suffering here. And yet, even though God knows this, he still gives us this commandment. He gives us this commandment with no ifs. Right? He doesn't say, honor your father and your mother if they are loving and godly. He doesn't say, honor your father and your mother if they provided a safe childhood environment for you. He doesn't say, honor your father and your mother if they repent of the hurts they've caused you. No, there are no ifs. There are no ifs in this commandment. It's unconditional. Honor your father and your mother, period. Right? Honor your father and your mother no matter the circumstance. Not just if it's convenient, not just if your parents are easy to love, not just if your parents have done all the right things. And by the way, this is consistent with the rest of God's will. God also tells us to submit to governments and rulers, even if they're ungodly, Romans 13. He also tells us to obey our earthly masters and bosses, even if they are unjust, 1 Peter 2:18. So in the same way, we don't choose our parents. God chose them for us. He knows your parents. He knows what they're like. And yet, despite their imperfections, despite the difficulty of the situation that you might be in, God wants you to do this. Honor your father and your mother. And also, there's no time limit on this commandment. It's not honor your father and your mother until you reach age 18 and leave their home. Right? It's not honor your father and your mother until you buy your own house and get married. It's not honor your father and your mother until they pass away. No. Right? God doesn't want us to just grit our teeth and bide our time until we can finally escape the burden of this situation. No. He wants us to commit to the marriage covenant. He wants us to commit to loving our parents unconditionally. Now, how do we do this? I mean, how can we live this out? Is this an impossible expectation? And if you think about it, it is hard, right? It's so hard that honestly, the world around us has basically given up on it. Now, think about the stereotypes of teenagers in our modern society. Right? Our society doesn't expect them to honor their parents. In fact, the world today often expects them to be rebellious and disrespectful. And sometimes we even consider this rebelliousness to be, you know, a vital stage of their growth. It's a good thing. Or some of us, you know, we might say, well, at least in maybe some non-Western cultures, you know, they do a better job of honoring their parents, right? For example, many East Asian cultures have this concept called filial piety. Some of you may know about this, right? Which basically emphasizes supporting, respecting, and deferring to your parents and elders. I mean, that sounds very similar to God's instruction to honor our parents, doesn't it? And we see similar values expressed across many different cultures, like in the Middle East, in Africa, in Latin America, in Eastern Europe. I mean, pretty much all over, you hear some expression of this. So that sounds good, right? But in reality, the corruption of sin has pervaded all cultures. Right? Under the surface, human values like filial piety, I mean, they're actually a heavy yoke that's based more on guilt and obligation rather than love. So remember, just now we said, why does God want us to honor our parents? It's because they represent Him. And so we honor God by honoring our parents. But our human systems, our human cultures, they're not like that, right? Our cultures require us to respect our parents because of what they have done for you, right? Because you owe your parents a debt. It's basically putting parents in the place of God. Right? If you think about it, they don't put it that way, but that's really what it is. And these are expectations that enslave rather than bring freedom. And even when children do adhere to these expectations, often the fruit that's produced is bitterness and resentment rather than joy. I mentioned I grew up in Singapore. So in Singapore, where I grew up, the government enacted a law called the Maintenance of Parents Act. They actually enforce this expectation. So under this law, a senior citizen can actually sue their adult children who do not provide financially for them. And it happens. It does happen. And whenever these cases crop up, I mean, the ugliness, you know, the brokenness there is just so evident. Right? You know, these human systems, they're really just counterfeits of God's kingdom. Right? They resemble the real thing. They resemble the real thing, but they're not real. They're not real. They're just counterfeits. So we can't rely on our human cultural practices either. I mean, that's not the answer. Now, if that's the case, then what is the answer? Now, how can we possibly live out God's instruction to honor our parents? Now, given all this, there's really only one answer we can give, which is, with man, this is impossible, right? But with God, all things are possible. Now, like all the other parts of the law of Moses, there's really no way we can fulfill them by our own human strength. We have to cry out to God Himself to help us to live out the commandments that He gave us. And when Paul discusses the same commandment in Ephesians, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Notice how he points us to the Lord, to Jesus. Right? We can only honor our parents when we do so in Christ. And Jesus was the only person who ever lived a life that was perfectly honoring to both his earthly and his heavenly Father. Right? Luke 2:51 tells us that as a child, Jesus submitted to his parents. And for those of you who read the Gospel of John, we also see episodes where Jesus spent time with his mother Mary, helping her with things like at the wedding at Cana. And even as Jesus hung on the cross, guess what he still took time to do? He watched out for his mother. He made sure that she would be taken care of by telling his disciple John to take her in, like John chapter 19. Can you imagine? Even as Jesus was suffering one of the most excruciatingly painful forms of execution possible, even as he was carrying all the weight of all the sin of all the world, even as he was taking on the wrath of God on our behalf, he took time to care for his mother. What higher honor can anyone show to their parents? This is truly kabet. And because Jesus lived the perfect life in obedience to this commandment, you and I, we can now put on his clothing of righteousness. We can now truly live out this commandment by relying on his grace. It's only by the cross of Jesus. So if you need to forgive your parents, and just remember that Jesus died for our sins to buy us forgiveness and healing. And on the cross, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Right? And therefore, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. So you also can forgive. So no matter how much our parents have hurt us, no matter how much pain you've suffered in your relationship with your parents, we can forgive our parents with the forgiveness of Christ. That's the good news of the cross. That's the only way we can truly, truly kabed, honor our parents. And I also want to share another piece of good news. Right, look at the second half of the commandment, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Right, this commandment comes with a promise, a blessing. Paul also points this out in Ephesians 6. He says, honor your father and your mother. And then Paul says here, this is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So remember, the Ten Commandments, they are not rules to repress us. They're not obligations to oppress us, but they are God's marriage vows to bless us. Right? And so this is just a beautiful truth. Let's look at this final beautiful truth. Listen very carefully. As you honor your father and your mother, God himself will honor you. Right? God will honor you. He promises that when you kabet, when you honor your father and your mother, it will go well with you, and that you will live long in the land. In other words, he will establish you. He will give you an eternal inheritance in his promised land. This is his faithful vow to us. This is what God himself promises to us in his marriage covenant to us as the bride of Christ. Isn't this amazing? Isn't God so good? When we honor our father and our mother, we are honoring God who they represent. And God himself graciously honors us. It's incredible. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We worship you for the amazing promises that you give us in your word. In our own words, we can't even express the fullness of your beauty, the fullness of your love and your grace for us. We just want to say thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. So, brothers and sisters, I bless you to receive the power of the cross of Jesus, to receive the healing of all wounds and regrets and brokenness in your relationships with your parents. I bless you to receive redemption, that by the wounds of Jesus, you are healed. I bless you in Christ to receive the capacity to kabat, to honor your father and your mother, to honor and cherish and love them, and to love them not just with your own human love, but to allow the love of Christ to overflow from you to them, to forgive them because Christ forgave you. And I bless you through the Holy Spirit to honor your parents with gratitude and joy as God's representatives in your life. I bless you to do this, both of those of us whose parents are still alive and for those of us whose parents have passed on. I bless you to receive God's beautiful promise that as you go forth in the power of the cross of Jesus to honor your father and your mother, God himself will also honor you. Lord Jesus, we praise your beautiful and mighty name. Amen.